Good morning, everyone. My name is Derek, and I'm from Tier Fund, and it's my pleasure to be here this morning. I think it's been a while since someone has spoken. I think somebody told me in the previous service that it's maybe a couple of years since Tim McGowan spoke, and he was here, I say, a few years back. But I'm pleased to be here this morning, and in particular, I want to say thank you for inviting us along. But I also want to thank you for your generous support over the years, and on behalf I want to thank for people maybe across the world that you may not see this side of heaven, but whose lives have been vastly changed because of your support. So I want to say a big thank you. This morning I've been asked to come along and have a talk about the theme that you are engaging with this weekend, and that is the impact of the climate on the poorest people of the world. You may be surprised to know that as we live at the moment, we consume like we live for have three planets of capacity rather than one. That is actually how we consume at the moment. The average person living in the West enjoys a standard of living that has been unimaginable in human history. Meanwhile, 40% of the Earth's inhabitants eke out an existence of less than a dollar a day. That's a staggering statistic and quite concerning. Because as Christians, as we live in the West, in a society of vast wealth, it presents to us an enormous responsibility. For throughout Scripture, God, as God's people, are commanded to show compassion to the poor. So, for example, in 1 John chapter 3, verse 17, it says, "If anyone has material possessions and sees his brother in need, but has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in him?" Norman read the Scripture this morning from Romans. And that really calls to mind that we are the people of God. And we're called not to conform to the patterns of this world, to become so well adjusted to our culture that we fit in without even thinking. Instead, we are called to fix our attention on God and to recognize what he is calling us to do, to have a deep gratitude for all God has given and a responsibility for how we choose to use those resources. This is something that our denomination does well each year through its generous giving. Last year, I had the privilege of visiting Bangladesh on behalf of the World Development Committee for the Presbyterian Church. I was there to produce a film showing the impact of environmental changes of changing weather patterns on the southern region of the Bengal Bay. Well, with an issue like the changing weather patterns, it depends on where you stand, affects what you see. So here in Northern Ireland, I can't honestly say I've seen much of a change. You could argue that perhaps the summers were better. You could argue the winters were colder. But generally, there hasn't been that much of an impact on us. I can't honestly say that it's cost us livelihoods or has displaced us in any kind of way. However, if you lived in Bangladesh, a country that has been subjected to increasingly unpredictable weather patterns, you see a change that's measurable and impact that's causing extreme damage to those who inhabit the country. In this case, it's cyclones, which have been occurring regularly every 2 to 3 years. It wipes out infrastructure, crops, displaces people, and leaves the land corroded with salt water. So if you can imagine our kind of valley of green grass, all that lovely, lush harvest land just completely covered in water, and it's full of salt. Presbyterian Church has focused last year's appeal on that country, helping people along that southern coastal part of Bangladesh who continue to struggle to survive, a place most affected because of the past natural disasters. So you'll have seen things in the news where they've had cyclones, tidal surges, salinity, river erosion, shortage of drinking water, and the list continues. In this part of Bangladesh, the annual rainfall is in a low-lying coastal zone is decreasing. But it's also becoming more erratic. Intense and heavy rainfall events are more frequent. And the minimum and maximum average temperatures are rising. And the frequency of tropical cyclones is predicted to increase. It's a hostile environment in which to live. All of this means that already vulnerable population is increasingly at risk as food security is undermined and the whole communities are displaced. Mongolia has been a region with a high level of poverty. Most families depend on income from fishing, farming and day labouring. But the changing climate has impacted these livelihoods. The salinity in the soil is increased by day and the sea levels are rising. So what does this mean? Well, it means that the land is no longer fertile. You can't grow regular crops that they've traditionally grown for years. The only option to them is to find alternative varieties or adopt to new methods of farming. And when you live in extreme poverty, adopting to new methods or the means to purchase alternative seeds isn't always possible. This leaves thousands of people without the means to feed their family, to provide income, and in many ways leaving them without hope. This further affects the health of the community. So as the resources of food are threatened, the overall water quality deteriorates. High salt content in both soil and water can result in a higher rate of miscarriages among pregnant women. All drinking water has to be bought out of bottles. The land becomes useless and relationships are broken as people are forced to migrate, breaking up families and communities which have been long established. It's a bleak, hostile environment, and people are finding it harder and harder to feed themselves, never mind send their children to school. But I want to stand here this morning and tell you that there's hope. And we work with partners in Bangladesh, and one of those partners is the Bangladesh Nazarene Mission. And they work throughout a network of 55 churches in this district. And what they do is, you may have seen this before, but you'll see it in the wee film we're about to watch in a moment. They set up small help groups, and these train people to adopt the weather-related damage and become disaster prepared. And so they do various bits of training. The issue that they also face in Bangladesh is that it's a male-dominated society in which there can be many restrictions for women. So if a woman wants to go to work, there could be a lot of difficulty in that, especially if she wants to set up a small enterprise or run a small business. So the capacity for women to run these small businesses or take equal responsibility for community development has often been unrecognised or actively undetermined. So it's a bit of a challenge for our partners when they're working alongside these women and trying to help them to make these steps. For many women, the first step then is to join this self-help group. They act together and they're able to set up a collective microcredit. Now, I don't know if you've ever seen this before, but generally what happens is they all pay in a small amount each week. And then they have a little pot. And then from that pot, they can take a little bit of money, set up a small business or do something that will increase their profit on it. They pay back their loan, and then they continue to keep paying in, and someone else takes a loan, and that's how they help themselves. So it's a self-help group. And so when these ladies work together to adapt to the changing environment, they do become respected by their families and their wider community. They help to bring transformation, and they also bring hope. Alongside this, the church has started to develop and grow in a country where it's in a minority. And these small enterprises where these women are making a difference, they also, many of them, come to faith. And it's very encouraging. Some of the shops, some of the business they run is like from small shops to crab farming. And they do stuff that creates sustainability for their families, and they gain empowerment. From where these people are standing, learning to live in partnership with creation is a core expression of their Christian faith. Like you are doing this morning in all the stands that you've set up and thinking about how you can reuse, recycle and so forth. And these people who are coming to faith in Bangladesh, they see part of their Christian expression as coming in alignment with creation and publicly their public confession to the Lord. The main story that we made out of the film for the World Development Appeal last year featured a woman called Momopta, who had been adapting to this ongoing impact with training from the Bangladesh Nazarene Mission. Momopta, as you'll see from the film, has been living with her husband and daughter in a village in Mongol, and since getting married, her husband Utam, who was an agricultural labourer, has been finding it harder and harder to get work. Momopta attended training with the Bangladesh Nazarene Mission, and she learned how to do some gardening. She learned how to create worm compost, and she learned how to grow vegetables by raising her soil to avoid the salinity in the sand. So if you imagine little gardens lifted up off the ground, and they're using the worm compost that they generate themselves so they can grow crops. She also was learning that there's other varieties that they could use, such as cucumber, beet, eggplant, and others. And they get some training and help on how to source those. This has inspired her, and she's begun to raising some more worm compost. And together her and her husband have received training. They now have a tea shop. They have crab farming. They raise a number of small animals around, and a very small patch of land that they have. This encouraged them, and their confidence has grown. You'll see from the film they now have greater food security, a source of income, and she's now become the leader of a self-help group. In turn, she has become known as a community leader and drawn a number of women into the group who received training from the Bangladesh Nazarene Mission. Environmental changes, though, are becoming one of the most challenging barriers in the to the world's poorest communities. And as followers of Christ, we must create different models of living well into the future, for our neighbours and for ourselves. We need to enter into a new and more fruitful relationship with God's created earth. And this is the reason we use the term climate justice, because how we choose to live has a profound impact on the world's poorest communities and demonstrates our care for God's creation. We know that the world's richest countries are primarily the cause for the changing environment. Two of the main contributors to the rise in temperature are the burning of fossil fuels and tropical deforestation. Some of us might think, well, that's really nothing to do with me. I'm not contributing to that. But here's what the consequences are of this. The consequences are already affecting human health, food production, economic stability, contributing to human migration patterns. And this is clearly unjust and not what the Bible intends as good stewardships of the earth. Last year, the Presbyterian Church raised funds to provide some of the world's poorest communities in places like Bangladesh with the resources they'll need in order to continue to adapt to the changes ahead that they're facing. And as I say, if you supported that, you already have made a difference. But when we look at people like Mamota, making lifestyle choices with energy and courage, it should give us hope and inspire us to continue to play our part. It is our urgent responsibility to address the unsustainable practices which have shaped our society and has this impact on the poor. As followers of Jesus, the impact of our choices should cause us to consider what the Bible has to say and how we impact our neighbours and ourselves. Each day, whether we're conscious of it or not, we make choices about how we live. Simple things like how much energy do we consume, leaving lights on or using things we could switch off. How much waste do we produce? You know, I was talking to your caretaker and he was explaining to me the amount of stuff he has to deal with. How often we travel. In Tearfund, we really try to reduce our travel. So we use technology like Skype calls for meetings. If we don't need to go and visit, then we don't do it, because that's adding to the carbon footprint. Everyday choices that add to the impact on the world, and they not only affect our neighbours, but they also damage the future for our children. Now, there's one thing you could do immediately this morning, and it's very, very simple. In Northern Ireland at the moment, we're the only part of the UK that doesn't have a sustainable energy choice. None of the energy providers are able to offer that. So Tearfund has a vision. And the vision is to see a world where everyone can live life in all its fullness and where nobody is hungry, thirsty, or gets left behind due to environmental changes. And I know that sounds ambitious, but we believe it's possible because it's what God calls us to do. These small steps in which we change and how we live our lives can have a collective multiplying effect. For example, we could switch to 100% renewable electricity, one of the biggest things that us and our churches could do to reduce our carbon footprint. But unlike the rest of the UK, we don't have that choice. So this morning, I have a petition outside in the vestibule, And I'd love you just to sign that. And we will send your signatures off to London, and we will lobby on your behalf to get the energy providers here in Northern Ireland to make that option available, so that Christians and churches across Northern Ireland can make that choice and make that difference. So I really encourage you this morning if you would do that. Because when together we use our time and our money to care for creation, comply to God's commands, and stand alongside the world's poorest people who are most affected, real change is possible. Helping to show governments and business that where there's a demand for clean, renewable energy, that can bring help to all God's people and to help them flourish. So this morning, I want to finish with a challenge for you to sort of think about. You could sign that, and we will make that lobby on your behalf, and I'd really encourage you to do that. But the most important thing I would ask you to do this morning, I'd ask you to think about that video and think of that wee villages in Bangladesh and places like that where people like Mamota live, where small churches are trying to share the gospel, and yet they're in hostile environments when people can't even feed themselves, where it's struggling to live on a dollar a day. And I ask you, would you pray for those people? Keep them in your prayers and ask God to show you what you can do so that they and their children can have a better future and that all will be sustainable. And then I'd like you to exercise your responsibility to God's creation as followers of Christ by asking God to show you the choices that you can make. Be informed of where the resources available to help your family and to be more eco-friendly. And in turn, bring long-term change. Signing the petition is one of those things you could do. And then on your seat, you might find one of these, a little card. This is a card to do with the Congo, but it's the same mechanism will work here. If you would like to support what we're doing in Tear Fund, and there's a couple of different boxes you can look through, just tick one of those boxes that's relevant to what you'd like to do and how you support Tear Fund. Hand that back to me after the service. And my colleague, who's a Texan, called Nathaniel, will give you a call in a couple of weeks' time, and you can discuss with him what it is you would like to do. And so I'd just like to finish by closing in prayer. Would that be okay? And we just close our eyes and bow our heads. Heavenly Father, this morning we think of those across the world who live on less than a dollar a day. And we find it difficult to imagine what their lives must be really like. But we know that you call us to care and to share what we have been given. Help us to see what has been placed in our hands, so that we might bring sustainable change to those who need resources. We also ask you to show us how we can make lifestyle changes that would reduce our impact on your creation. Let us not simply conform to the world around us, but instead help us to shape it for your kingdom. Thank you for this morning. Bless this church in all that they do. In your name, amen.